This week, Pastor Jeff Hopkins is continuing his series on the Book of Colossians. We hope that this message blesses you.
You know, we've been studying through the Book of Colossians, and we've been taking it pretty slow. And, you know, honestly, there's a reason that we do that is because we don't want to rush through it all. And no matter how slow we go, we can go super slow and then come back to it next year and go, hey, we're going to go even slower and we're going to find even more in there. Then we're like, where did that come from? Who rewrote this, you know? But we want to just try to take our time, work through large chunks of scripture at a time, and so to be able to get like the overall idea. And so we've been in Colossians, and we've moved on to Colossians chapter 2. That should be exciting. That's 3 weeks in Colossians 1, but I'm not going to promise that we won't go back to Colossians 1 before it's all said and done. But Colossians 2, we're going to be reading verses 1 through 8. It should be up on the screen. And it's out of the CSB version, Christian Standard Bible version. That's just what I use and prefer. But whatever version you use is welcome. So follow along with me. It says, this is Paul writing to the church. It says, for I want you to know how greatly I am struggling for you. For those in Laodicea and for those who have not yet seen me in person. I want their hearts to be encouraged and joined together in love, so that they may have all the riches of complete understanding and have the knowledge of God's mystery, Christ. In him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Verse 4, I am saying this so that no one will deceive you with arguments that sound reasonable. For I may be absent in the body, but I am with you in the spirit, rejoicing to see how well ordered you are in the strength of your faith in Christ. Verse 6, so then, just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to walk in him, being rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, and overflowing with gratitude. Verse number 8, and be careful that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit based on human tradition, based on the elements of the world, rather than Christ. Amen, amen. I did mean to say, you know, we prayed for Kelly, our worship pastor, last week. She had surgery this Thursday. It's going well. Surgery went better than what they were expecting or hopeful for. She is at home recovering. Eric is here to man the sound booth and everything, and things are well. It might not be as rosy of a picture as I'm painting right now, but, you know, she is coming off the pain meds and, you know, trying to work through some of that stuff, but she's at home. Zion's there to help kind of take care of her, so thank you for praying for her and with them. And then also Lisa and Sean Ware, you will know them. They're the only ones that can, like, rival me and my wife on the number of kids. They just had a baby girl on Friday night. Sammy, I believe, is it Sammy Sue Ware? Yeah, Sammy Sue Ware. And so they're doing well. Everything went quick and about 10 days early. So they're really happy. They're at home recovering. And so there will be a meal train going around for them that you guys can sign up for and help provide a meal for them. And so is that's 6 kids under the age of 7 for them. Is that right? Yeah, 6 under 7. Ooh, man, that's never been more truer word said than what Jack just said, man. I don't know what word it was, but it was true, you know? But I mean, man, if you get tired this week, if you get stressed out this week, can you just stop and go, hey, Lord, I pray for Sean and Lisa Ware right now. You know, like, man, praise the Lord. So, but they are doing well, and so look forward to being able to support them through meals and visits and stuff. So what we wanted to look at today, the main verses today are going to be that verse 6 and 7. So then, just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to walk in him, being rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught and overflowing with a gratitude. And really, like, what this is, like the CSB says, so then, your NIV, I believe it's NIV, will say therefore, right? So therefore, just as you have received. So it's talking like all through Colossians 1, Paul is laying the foundation of what it is. And even in the chapter 1, verses 15 through 20, talking about the centrality of Christ, how he was before all things and by him, he holds all things together. And he talks about all the things that he did for us coming into chapter 2. And he says, so therefore, So then, just as you received Christ, continue to walk in him. There's this idea, like, our walk, so then, just as you received him, continue to walk in him. We received him as a free gift. He says, so then, just as you received Christ, so then, just as you received him as a free gift that you did nothing to earn, continue to walk in him. So that means continue to walk in a manner that goes, hey, it cost me nothing to be considered a son or a daughter of God. And so now I'm going to walk in a manner, as chapter 1 says, in a manner worthy of the Lord, but not to earn my way into his good graces. He's not somebody that he gave us a free gift, but now in order to stay there, you have to continue to earn your way to stay there. Have you ever gotten a gift from somebody that ends up costing you more? Right? It's a free gift. Like, hey, here it is. You know, we love to give loud toys to my brother's kids growing up. And it was a free gift for them and their kids. But it cost them a lot more than it cost me, you know? And so that's the same way. Like sometimes in our relationship, it's like, oh man, I'm free. I'm here. And then we get into this mindset of like, okay, now I have to earn my way to stay as a son or a daughter. We didn't have to earn our right standing with God, and so we don't have to earn our way of staying there. It would be like if a bleeding person is bleeding, and they're just like, man, I cannot wait to go to the hospital, but I got to get all this blood to stop before I can go. You know, it's like, oh, no, we got to get right before we go to the Lord. No, we come to the Lord broken, hurt, wounded. We come to him, and he freely receives us. It's this story of, in John chapter 5, there's a man that's been paralyzed 38 years. There's a pool that an angel comes and stirs, and the first one in is healed, and he's been there 38 years. Jesus walks up to him, and I don't know why Jesus said this, but he said, do you want to get well? And the man goes, I've been here for 38 years. Every time somebody beats me there. And Jesus responds and he goes, well, then pick up your mat and walk. And the man picks up his mat and he walks. What an incredible story. Like, can you imagine if Jesus said, hey, pick up your mat and walk? And he responded and said, I appreciate that, but I've gotten used to this. You know, like this is my mat, this is my spot. People kind of know where I am. Like, I'm just going to stay here. Like, can you imagine that mat? 38 years paralyzed. Like, ladies, your exercise mats, like, you know, they're gross, right? And y'all bathe and put on lotion. Y'all smell good. Can you imagine a man that's been paralyzed for 38 years? Picks up his mat. And can you imagine if Jesus said, hey, you're free. And he says, no, I'll just stay here. But yet, how many times do we do that? Where he says, hey, Jeff, you've been set free from what all you've been set free from. And you go, Jesus, thank you. But I'm just going to return back to that. It's what I know. It's what I'm comfortable with. People expect that out of me now. Can you imagine staying in that filth of sin? Where Paul says, so then, just as you received Christ, continue to walk in him. There's this idea that so many times we've been set free. We've been, that word saved, in the Greek, it's that word sozo, that we've been set free. We've been made whole. We've been made well. We've been saved. We've been delivered. We've made to be prosperous. Can you imagine looking at that, all of that, and going, I'll just stay here, Lord. But yet, how many times do we do that? Do we receive the free gift of salvation? And instead of walking in that freedom, we take our freedom and we say, hey, I'm just going to stay on my mat. With all my sweat, with all my matter, with all my stuff, I'm just going to stay here. And you're like, man, that is so gross. And can I say that every time that I choose to stay in my sin, it is so gross. There's two keys that when we look at these words right here, it says, so then, just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to walk in him, being rooted and built up. Those words, that first word, rooted, it should be up here. I think I did my sermon notes this week. Rooted means to render firm, to fix, to establish, to cause a person or thing to be thoroughly grounded. So he says, just as you received Christ, continue to walk in him, being rooted and built up. To be rooted, I mean, it's not that hard to imagine what he's talking about. To be rooted is to go down deep, to be anchored in Christ. He's saying, I want you to be rooted and built up. In order to be built up, we first must have to be rooted. We have to be anchored in Christ. I think so many times we get this Christian walk, this Christ follower, like we get it so complicated and we get it so far. To be rooted is to be rooted in Christ. The blood of Jesus that saves us, that redeems us, that washes us, that purifies us. We feel like we have walked with him for so long that we can now elevate ourselves to theologians, and we want to begin to debate all the things. We want to debate end times. We want to talk about when Cain got banned out. He married somebody. Who was that? Where did they come from? It's like, man, I don't know. But what I do know is that Jesus is the anchor. Right, like the blood of Jesus purifies me, sanctifies us, washes me. To be just as we received him, then we need to be walking in him. And our first thing is to be rooted in him, in Jesus Christ. May we never graduate to the point where we think we need to begin to talk about deeper things than that. Because as soon as I think that I have it all figured out on how Jesus, not only did he take on our sin, but Jesus became our sin so that we would know no sin. As soon as I go, okay, I think I've got my mind wrapped around that. Man, you better start again and reread that, because you will never get that. We'll never understand that. To be rooted means that he is our anchor. Right? The gospel is simple. We've made it so complicated. Paul even goes on to say, he says, all the things that I've attained, all the things that I've known, I consider them rubbish. I pray that I would only know Christ and Christ crucified. Forget all the other things. That is what matters. To be rooted is to be rooted in Christ Jesus. It's this idea that we have to be deeply connected. That the roots that are going to sustain us, that the roots that are going to provide nourishment to us, they only come through a deep walk with him, with a continual fellowship with him. Those roots will not grow on their own. You're not just going to go, man, I'm so rooted and grounded right now, like, and it just happened overnight. I don't even know what happened. It's going to come about through relationship and walking with him, spending time with him, saying no to things, saying yes to things, and going, man, this is what I'm after. You see, those roots, they help us stand firm against the storms of this world. So when Paul's saying, hey, you need to be rooted and built up, he's saying, I want you to be rooted. I want you to be anchored to Jesus. I want you to get your nourishment from him, right? John 15, the vine and the branches. I want you to get your nourishment from him. But also the roots are there so that we'll have stability, that no matter what comes about, we'll never be uprooted. I think the key on the root system, not that this has nothing to do with agriculture because I don't know anything about that, but the key to the root system, my wife's laughing because she knows. The key to the roots is you never see it. We're so anxious to tell everybody all the things we know. And you might say, well, Jeff, you're the one up here talking and we're all listening. Man, I don't want to be up here. I don't want to be here. I don't feel that I'm worthy to be here. Like, we're so anxious. We get something, we're like, man, we got to tell everybody about it. The roots grow in secret. We're made firm in the secret. The key to a good root system is to spend time alone with the Father, and nobody will ever know what's happening. Your roots are going to grow and people are going to go, man, I don't know about that guy. They're never going to see the times that you spend alone with him. They're never going to hear the prayers that only the Father hears you pray. And you might not be this, bam, beautiful tree, beautiful plant, but your roots are going to be so strong and so deep that no matter what comes against you, you're going to be able to withstand. But can I tell you, that's only going to happen in the secret. What I love about it too is that roots doing concrete work. You run into roots a lot. People always want like the concrete to, they're like, hey, can you just like form it right around this tree? And I'm like, yeah, I'll be back in 3 years and I'll re-pour it again. They're like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, there's roots right there. It's still alive. Like it's growing. It's going to disrupt. And it's amazing how far the roots will reach. We've poured sidewalks and slabs and we'll be 40, 50 feet away from a tree. And they'll say, man, there's something wrong with the slab. You go back over there a couple years later and you start digging and looking and there's roots. The roots that happen and grow in secret are a powerful force. Being rooted in Him provides stability, nourishment, and fellowship with God. The key to withstanding storms is not just being built up. The key to withstanding all that the enemy's going to throw at you is to be rooted in Him. That next word or two words is built up. It means to build upon, to finish the structure of which the foundation has already been laid. What I love about that right there, to build upon, to finish the structure of which the foundation has already been laid. Like you don't have to start from scratch. It's not like, hey, you got to build the foundation. Here you go. No, the foundation is already there. To be built upon means the foundation is there, which is Christ Jesus. And then all we get to do is just build on top of that. Have you ever got to come in after somebody's already started something and they've done a good job? You know, maybe I know Josh is in remodeling and, you know, sometimes you pour the slab. And man, have you ever had to show up and someone didn't do a great job on it? And you're like, dude, how am I going to make this square? Our Brock campus over there, it meets in a gymnasium. It's 60 by 100. And the guy that erected the building traded it for like softball lessons. And so the softball lessons were more valuable than his ability to hold a tape measure, right? I mean, that thing, when we first moved in there, the building was like 4 inches out of square. And like where the walls came together, you could see through it. And so Don Martin was like, I'll just spray foam it. Let's see what happens, you know? And so we just spray foam it all and just make it all work. But if you ever have to come into something later on, after somebody's done it, it's like, man, that is wrong. The good news is that word built upon means that the foundation is perfect. You don't have to change it up. All you get to do is just come in after the fact and build upon it. There's that verse or that story, Matthew 25, the parable of the talents. It tells the story of a master who it says he's going to go away for a while and he has three servants and he gives one servant 5 talents. He gives one servant 2 talents and he gives another one 1 talent. And it says the guy that got 5 talents went and doubled it. The guy that got 2 went and doubled it and the 1 went and buried it. It says after a long time, the master came back and he said, hey, my 5 talents. And the 5 talents guy goes, hey, I took it and I doubled it and here's 10. He said, well done, good and faithful servant. And the one with 2 comes in. He says, hey, I doubled it. Here it is. Here's 4. And the one with 1, he goes to the master and he goes, hey, man, I know you're easily upset. And I know that you sow in places, you reap in places you don't sow. I know these things about you. And so what it is, I hid it. And then here it is. Here's the 1. And he said, you knew these things and you never told me? Said, away from me, you evil and wicked servant. There's this idea that to be built upon, we've been given this free gift of righteousness, this free gift of salvation. Our job is not to just go, oh man, I've been saved. I'm going to go get my own little bubble over here so that nobody disrupts me, right? And man, if I just stay right here, everything's good. We have been saved so that our lives can be on display, so that the gospel can be furthered. We don't receive the gift of salvation just to go, all right, here it is, it's mine. Look at what I got. It's up on display on the mantle in the fireplace, and look, don't touch, don't mess with it. No, it's, we get the gift of salvation so that the gospel can be lived out through us. There's a responsibility that we have. That it's not just to be rooted and we're in secret and man, there we go. It's me and the Lord and we're in our prayer closet and everything's great and we're taking care of things. No, it's we're rooted in the secret, but then we have to go and be built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ so that people can look at us and go, man, that's the gospel. Because the truth is that like my life is supposed to be a display of the gospel. They're supposed to look at Jeff Hopkins and go, if Jesus can save him, man, then who can't he save? They're supposed to look at Bucky and go, man, Bucky, I knew you before Jesus. I did not know that Jesus could do that. Our lives are supposed to be on display. We're supposed to steward well what he has given us. To take it and to just hold on to it and not build upon it and just stay there and you're like, man, this is it. It's all I want. We have to build upon it. We are constantly growing and being strengthened, adding to what Christ has already done. Every circumstance is an opportunity for us to add to our foundation. Every yes that we say to Jesus is another building block that we get to put on there. Every no that we say to the world and that we say to our flesh is a building block. You'll never be able to be built up. You'll never be able to withstand the storms if you keep saying no to God and yes to the world. Because that house that's being built will fall right down. We want to build houses that are rooted in him. We want to build things that are built up, that are strong in him. Every yes that we say to him and every no that we say to the flesh is another building block that we get to add to ourselves. So this was my thought on this, like reading through here. All right, so we need to be rooted. We need to be built up. There's more through there, established in the faith as you were taught, overflowing with gratitude. But my thought right here now transitions. Well, then what is a rival to that? Like what is preventing me? Like what is preventing my relationship with the Lord? What stands in the way of my relationship? Number one, I said it's got to be a lack of spiritual discipline. My relationship with the Father is as close as I want it to be. Our pastor at Brock says all the time, you're as close to God as you want to be. And you say, well, no, I want to be closer. Well, if you do, then start saying yes to him and no to the world. You're as close to him as you want to be. The things that stand in the way is a lack of spiritual discipline. We will get up early for work. We will get up early for workout. We will get up early for sports. Man, not only will we get up early for sports, we will stay all day in the heat for sports. We will spend the night for sports. We will miss church for sports. We will do all the things for sports, right? Like, we'll do all those things for everything else. But for the Lord, it's like spiritual discipline. Like, man, I don't know. I just don't have time. I got to get up early for work. Or I got to go to bed early. You're as close to God as you want to be. He's made a way. He's removed every barrier that could separate you from him. A lack of spiritual discipline. The thought that came to my mind is that of a tumbleweed. A tumbleweed has one root, and it's easily uprooted and blown about and tossed away because it has one root. And so many times we hear one good sermon. We hear one good truth. We show up to church on Easter. We show up to church on Christmas or Christmas Eve. And we're like, there we go. We have one good root. And then the storm comes and it's like, Lord, where are you? Lord, why is this happening? Lord, what's going on? You've got one root, man. And it's because of a lack of spiritual discipline. When we fail to spend time with God, when Jeff fails to spend time with God, then I'm failing to be rooted in him. And the truth is, like, you're here, and I can have a conversation with you, and I can talk about this, and you can fool me, right? And believe me, I can fool you. But that's only going to last for so long. The enemy knows exactly where you are with the Father. The Father knows exactly where you are with Him. We can play the part. We can serve in children's ministry. We can stand up here and preach and lead worship. We can do all the things. And we can be very far from Him. A lack of spiritual discipline will lead to a spiritual immaturity. Every time. When we're not disciplined in the Word, if we're not disciplined in our prayer time, if we're not disciplined in listening to the Holy Spirit, if we're not disciplined in serving one another, if we're not disciplined in being generous with our time, talents, and treasures, then we will become spiritually immature that are focused on us and us alone. We will begin to build something that so easily crumbles. We build on top of things that are unstable. It's like that game Jenga, and I was going to have one out here, but the kiddos had their own class, and that would probably lead to a disaster. But, you know, with Jenga, you pull from the bottom or from the middle, and you place on top, and it gives you the illusion that the tower's going higher. But at some point, when that one is pulled out, it all comes crumbling down. And when we fail in our spiritual disciplines, when we fail to spend time with Him, when we choose the world and our flesh above Him, then one day that one block is going to come out. And we're going to go, but Lord, look at how far I've been with You. And we're going to realize that it was all built on unstable ground. Number two is unconfessed sin. Unconfessed sin, holding on to that creates a barrier between me and God. What rivals the gospel? What stands in the way of a relationship with the Father? Unconfessed sin. Because unconfessed sin creates a separation and a barrier. Not because the Father ran and hid from you. Not because the Father was ashamed of you. But because unconfessed sin causes me to go, well, He's holy and I'm not. And our immediate response is to run and hide. Guilt and shame will always cause you to run and hide from the Father. And the good news is that we have a good Father who, just like Adam and Eve, comes walking out, says, where are you? You see, but shame and guilt and unconfessed sin will hinder a relationship because we'll say, I don't want to be by you because, man, there's something in between us. Have you ever talked bad about somebody? Probably not y'all, but maybe I have. And then they call. Man, and you're like, oh, man. If you're like me, I just look at that phone. This is all hypothetical because I've never done it. But I could imagine that I just look at that phone and I'm like, man, I wonder if they found out that I said that. And then they don't leave a message and you're like, oh man, that's not good. Or they're a millennial. It's like, oh. And then they get a text and they're like, hey, how are you doing? I just want to chat. You're like, yeah, me too. Hey, you know, like, whew. It's the same thing with the Father. When there's unconfessed, it creates this barrier, this uneasiness. But it's only on our part. Because it says, while we were yet sinners, that Christ died for us. While we were enemies, He went up on a cross for us. So if He did that, knowing all that you were going to say and do against Him, shame and guilt is on us to run and hide. The last one, or there's two more. Here's this one right out of verse 8. It says, be careful that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit based on human tradition, based on the elements of the world rather than Christ. That one is empty deceit. This is when we put our hope in the stuff of this world. Right? Empty deceit tells me that the things of this world are more valuable than the things that Christ can offer me. I'm not anti-stuff. I like stuff, right? The stuff is good. But stuff has to drive me, has to stir in me a new worship for the Creator. Stuff can't go, oh man, I got this, and now I know that Jesus loves me. Right? I got that car that the windows roll up in, and it's like, oh yeah, he's for me, isn't he? Yeah. Man. Right? Or we get this new thing, this new stuff, and we're like, yeah, you see that? See what I just got, you know? There was a guy out in Tyler, and he was telling me this story, this older gentleman, and he was saying, this guy, Ricky had a boat. And he said, Ricky always had the boat on the trailer. He goes, I never saw Ricky put that boat in the water. He goes, Ricky just wanted everybody to know that Ricky had a boat. And how many times do we do that? How many times do we just parade our stuff around just so that people know that we got that stuff? Empty deceit is when we find value in the things that this world has to offer. When we find our identity in the things of this world. I'm telling you, stuff is good. Cars, you got to have them, right? This is where we are. I'm not saying don't have cars. I'm not saying go back to horses and buggies. You got to have a house. I'm not saying live in tents, right? And give all your houses to Jeff. Although the Lord would be gracious with that. I'm joking. That's wrong. Take that out. But what I'm saying is that our stuff does not define us. Our stuff does not say, man, you have a big house. God must love you more than he loves me. You got a newer car, right? What we cannot find is our stuff. Like, I cannot put on a new pair of shoes and be like, lacing them up and be like, oh man, now there they are. I can't buy new clothes and go, man, I just can't wait to show this off to people. Because no matter how long that new car smell lasts, the thing that we'll always come back to is, are you right with the Father? Because you can mask it with a new car smell. You can mask it with a new house. You can mask it with new shoes. You can mask it with new clothes. But the lingering feeling will never go away. You can fool me. You can even fool yourself, but the Father knows. Stuff should not be what ultimately satisfies us. You hear it, I just need to go to some weird people say, I just need to go to the beach. I need to go to the mountains. I need to go find myself. What you need to do is you need to, not the beach, but you need to go to the mountains and not find yourself, but to find him. Stuff should not cause me to look inward at myself, but stuff should stir in me a new worship for the Creator. Stuff is good. Stuff is beautiful. But it's not about stuff, and it doesn't ultimately satisfy us. How many times have I said stuff, right? Y'all are going to get that in your heads today. It doesn't ultimately satisfy us, and it doesn't ultimately define us. It should stir in us back to him. It's like a cat chasing their tail. You ever watch that? You're like, how silly is that? And yet we run around trying to grab hold of possessions and eventually realize what? They got a hold of us. We're trying to grab hold of all the things and eventually we stop and we bite our own tail and go, dang, that was my tail. They got a hold of me now. We can't allow possessions to take hold of us. The last one is, it says right here, in based on human tradition, or verse 16 in chapter 2, verse 16, 17. I'll skip down to 20 on that, but I'll read it. It's not in there. Sorry, Noah. Therefore, don't let anyone judge you in regard to food and drink or in the matter of a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day. These are all a shadow of what was to come. The substance is Christ. Verse 20, if you died with Christ to the elements of this world, why do you live as if you still belong to the world? Human tradition will try to get you out of relationship with the Father. Even in that story in John chapter 5, Jesus says, pick up your mat and walk. The man picks up his mat, he walks. And do you know what happens in the next verse? The Pharisees say, "What happened?" And he said, "I don't know. This man told me to pick up my mat and walk, and I did." And they said, "Don't you know that it's illegal to pick up your mat on the Sabbath?" That is their response. They said, "Who did that?" And he goes, "I don't know." And Jesus comes back to the man and says, "Stop sinning or something worse is going to happen to you." Can you imagine somebody being healed, saved, delivered, made whole, made to prosper, and then human tradition goes, "Bro, that was on a Sabbath. That's not what we do around here." That is what human tradition does. Human tradition puts rules and regulations in place in order to control and manipulate people. Even in here, the people were being criticized because they did not observe the certain festivals and the right food and the new moons and the feasts and all of that. And they were being told that they were less than. If you go into some of the other letters, right, it's like you weren't circumcised. And so now you're not really part of the family. You've got to be this and that. And it's human tradition is a rival to the gospel because human tradition puts rules and regulations in place in order to control and manipulate. And not all the time is it done out of spite and hate. Sometimes it's done out of, like, with a good heart to try to help people further along. But what happens is it places God in religion. It places relationship with Him as you got to earn your way into there. Like, "Hey, that's really great that you picked up your mat, but that was on the Sabbath, and so now you're going to have to go and make that right with the Lord." I cannot imagine that would ever happen. It says that you have been saved by grace through faith, not by works, so that no man can boast. You see, human tradition is this way where we try to put our activity out in front of our identity. Right? We put our activity out in front of our identity. Human tradition makes it all about what we're doing and not who we are becoming. And so what we want to say is that the gospel transforms us from the inside out, not the outside in. And so many times human tradition, like even coming to church, you know that our churches are filled with people that just think, that, man, I'm in because my great-grandparents went to church, my grandparents went to church, my parents went to church, I go to church, so I'm really good, I'm safe. I mean, I don't really walk with the Lord a whole lot, but I know that I'll be able to go to heaven because I go to church. Man, sitting in church doesn't make you any more of a Christian than sticking your head in the oven and calling yourself a biscuit, you know? Like, it just, sitting in church doesn't make you a Christian. Like, human tradition will tell you, "Hey, just do this, this, and this, and you can do all of the things." And one day when you stand before Him, He'll say, "Away from me, you evil and wicked doer." Because human tradition is all about the activity, not about our identity. Human effort, human tradition and self-effort will not get you closer to God. We can't act like a Christian and think that we're safe. So here's our response to this message, and we end with this. This word, rooted and built up. How are we going to get there? How are we going to get to where we're rooted and built up, established in the faith, just as you were taught, and overflowing with gratitude, being strengthened? One, we have to do daily discipline. It's the most important thing that you can do today and tomorrow and every day from here on out is to spend time with Him. If you only spend time with Him when you feel like it, that's not enough. It's just not. Every day. I'm married to my wife every day. I better say it this way. She's married to me every day, no matter if she feels like it or not. I always feel like it. Her, you will see. No matter what happens, we're married every day. Whether we wake up and we're excited about it, whether I don't put my clothes in the right spot again, whether she feels like it or not, we're married. Whether I feel like it or not, tomorrow morning I'm going to wake up. And for me, I'm going to drive to my job site and I'm going to watch on YouTube my Simpler Bible podcast. So you might want to avoid this area at that time of day because I'm not paying attention to the road. Whether I feel like it or not, that's what I'm going to do. And then when I get to my job site, I get the guys going and I'm going to get into my word. Because I want to, because it's easy, because it's convenient. No. It's because I'm a son of him. I'm his son, and that's what I get to do. It's a privilege. Number two would be to confess any sin. If you're going to be rooted and built up, you cannot allow sin to sit there and fester. Somebody's getting it. You can't allow that unconfessed sin to just build up inside of you. Because one day, it's no big deal. Okay, you sin. Okay, we get it. Every day that passes where that sin is still there, the chasm gets further and further. The good news is that the blood of Jesus paid for it. So no matter how far you get, you're right back into it. But it's not just about coming right back into it. It's that what happens when you're outside of it, where the enemy begins to come at you even more, and he has all rights to you because you're outside of that. What I want to say is to be rooted and built up is to confess your sins daily. Maybe it's instantly. The empty deceit, instead of asking for more stuff, the way to be rooted and built up is to say, Father, how can this stuff be used for your kingdom and for your purposes? Thank you that you've blessed me with this stuff, and I know that I'm a steward of it. Let me be a good steward of this stuff, and let me bless somebody else through it. The last one is quit going through the motions. You can fool me, and I can fool you, but you got to get real before the Father. Got to have a real talk with him and say, this is where we are. And here's the benefit of it. When me and my family in the tunnels, who are the pastors at the other campus, we used to go to Colorado together. And one time we went fishing. We drove to a place, and then it was like me and Noah and Max, and then Jesse and his, two of his oldest kiddos. And we parked and we hiked like 3 miles because me and Jesse saw a lake on a map and we were like, man, let's go there. And we get out there and Noah, it was in the afternoon, and Noah, he was probably 12 at the time, thought he knew it all, still does, and he really does. That's frustrating. He's like, Dad, I think it's going to rain today. I was like, it's not going to rain, man. We get out there, we're fishing pretty good, and when Jesse tells a story, he makes it seem like he caught more fish. In reality, I caught more fish than him. It doesn't matter, except it does. And the clouds start rolling in, and we're like, oh, man, we need to start going back. We're a couple of miles out. And it doesn't rain. It hails. And I'm not talking like the little, you know, the little bitty, it starts hailing on us, and we're on this path, and we're like, man, we've got to get under. And so we find this tree, and we stand under this tree for like 20 minutes as it hails. It covered the entire ground. It looked like snow. There was so much hail, and we were getting pelted, and then we found this tree, and we hunkered down underneath there. The point of the story, though, is that when we are rooted and built up, we can provide a place of safety for others. When Jeff Hopkins is rooted and built up into who I'm supposed to be, then that means that I can welcome people underneath me when they're in a time of trouble. That I can be a safe place for people to come when the storms of this life are coming. So we're rooted and we're built up not just for us so that we can attain and achieve and do whatever. It's so that we can then now in turn be a place of safety for others. That's why it's important. That's why this message is important, to be rooted and built up in him so that we can be mature followers of Jesus. So I'm going to pray for us, and then I think we have a few announcements. So Father, we just thank you for your word according to Colossians 2, that we can be rooted and built up in you, strengthened, overflowing with gratitude. Father, I pray that you would just speak to us even today as we dig back into your word, or tomorrow as we establish discipline in our life. Father, may you lead us and guide us in that. Father, we love you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.